morning, everybody. Welcome here to the midweek edition of the Panic Podcast. It is so good to have you with us. We're in 1 John, we're in Romans, we are all over the New Testament today on the Panic Podcast. We're going to talk about the promise of God's love. We'll get started in just a second. Oh, yes, we are. God's love is the topic of today's podcast. And Lord knows we need all the love we can get. So how are you all doing this week? Is it a good week for you? I sure hope it is. We are enjoying, let me tell you, we're enjoying some summer-like temperatures. We are in the low to mid-70s today. We're in the mid to upper 70s tomorrow. We're in the 70s on Friday, 60s on Sunday, Saturday, and 40s on Sunday with a chance of, you got it, snow. I love spring in Southwest Virginia. Not. I don't. I wish it would turn spring and stay spring and then turn summer. Or better yet, just be summer all the time. Wouldn't it be nice if there were no seasons, if it was always summertime? I know some people like the four seasons. They love to see all those dead leaves hanging on the trees. I mean, they're the people that don't rake them up, though, or blow them off the decks or whatever. I mean, it's really nice to love cold weather from inside your home. But it's another thing to actually have to go out in the cold weather, the snowy weather, rainy weather, to go to work or to maintain your yard or whatever. Oh, well, such is life. Well, we're in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. We're going to get started this morning. And I want to talk about the promise of an eternal love. Eternity is something that has always interested me. Because eternity goes both ways. Eternity goes forward and eternity goes backwards. And I find it a hard concept to wrap my mind around. We need to get Elon Musk in here to explain eternity to us, because he's a pretty smart guy. I've been listening to his, watching his interview on Tucker Carlson. He's smart. I guess you don't become a billionaire many times over unless you're fairly smart. Well, 1 John 4, verse 8. Says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, we reach back into the Old Testament, and we talk about Abraham a lot. Abraham became a spiritual giant with all of his imperfections and faults. He was definitely a spiritual giant, not because he was a particularly smart man. I don't know that I would have ever called Abraham, a prodigy or a genius. But he became a spiritual giant simply because he claimed the precious promises of God and pressed on, moved forward in faith, believing that God was trustworthy and would keep his promises made to Abraham and Abraham's descendants. Abraham didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that all that God had promised, he was able to perform. Romans 4, verse 20. Well, let's go to Romans 4, verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He's talking about Abraham being a very old man and the Lord promising him children since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. She was also, we're talking two senior citizens here, and God is promising that they would have children, a child. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Verse 22, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. I don't know that Abraham was a particularly righteous individual, but he had faith and he trusted the Lord. Now, did he ever doubt? Of course, I think he did. I think some of the most faithful believers who ever lived had the occasional fleeting doubts. But he pressed on. He pressed on, believing and hoping that God would fulfill all the promises that he made. In his statement, the Apostle Paul explains of Abraham's greatness and possible explanation for the spiritual weakness of many Christians today. We lack a faith which will grasp the promises of God at their face value and press on forward, depending upon God to do what he's promised. I think one of the greatest problems that Christians have today is a lack of knowledge of God's word. You will not know God's promises if you do not read God's word. You have got to get into the word of God. That's why I do these podcasts. I don't do them, you know, for the good of my health. I'm trying to instill in all of you an interest in the word of God. I want you to be curious about what the word of God says. I want you to read it and think about it and talk about it with people. Peter talks about the exceeding great and precious promises of God by which we are to become partakers of the divine nature. Listen to this, 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Well, let's back up to verse 3. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now mark this, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Where does the knowledge of God come from? It comes from the word of God. You're not going to learn about God any other way. Now you can go to church and you can hear sermons about God and so on. I'm not discounting that. But if you really want to know the mind of God and the heart of God, or as much of the mind of God that he's revealed to us, you need to read his word. Verse 4. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. You got that? You have got to study the word of God. And a study of the Bible will reveal clearly that God is a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. As we study the testimony of the saints, it can be observed that without exception, they all testify to the fact that God is faithful to every promise that he has ever made. There are hundreds of promises in the Bible. Now, a lot of them are not made to you. They're made to individuals in the Bible. But reading their stories inspires us to lay hold of the promises God has made to us as we await their fulfillment. If we would be true to our faith and to our God, we must accept his promises and believe that he is able to perform that which he has promised. Without such a faith, spiritual success is impossible. The entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is a record of God's faithfulness in keeping his promises. Now let's talk about this promise of love. Volumes have been written about the precious promises of God. But right now, today, I want to focus our attention on the divine promise of an eternal, undying love, which we find in the Word of God. Now, take a quick look at Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The great Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. Listen to this, 31, verse 3. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, listen, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Is that not a beautiful verse? Let me read this again. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. What do you think that means? Well, it means a love that will never end. But when did that love begin? Because when we talk about eternity, eternity goes forward and it goes backwards. So God has loved you before you were even born. Now, don't forget that God is the creator God. He created everything, including time. So he's not bound by time. Do you understand that? So when God says he's loved us with an everlasting love, he loved us even before we were born, and he will love us as long as eternity is, which is forever. God also spoke through the prophet Isaiah to the children of Israel, saying something else very important. Isaiah, 49:15. Now, listen to this. This is God talking. God is responding to something that Israel has said. Israel has claimed that the Lord had forsaken them. The Lord has forsaken and forgotten Israel. Here's God's response in Isaiah 49:15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Verse 16, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. I'm talking about the walls around Jerusalem. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. That's you. That's you listening to this program today. I don't care what you feel. I'm telling you what the objective word of God says. God says in his word, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. It doesn't matter what you think or what you feel. If you are a believer, you may be struggling in your faith. You may be going through a difficult time right now. You need to know this. God says, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. He can't forget you. A mother may forget her children, but God will never forget his, ever. And thus the people of Israel were strengthened and sustained in the days of adversity and hardship by an awareness of God's great loving care. Oh, listen, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know. Somebody's listening to this program that's having a difficult time. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to trust in the Lord and understand that he sees you and he sees what you are going through. He can empathize with you. He cannot forget about you. He has you engraved on the palms of his hands. Now, the Apostle Paul spoke to the Christians in Rome, and he also said something really important and significant in one of the greatest passages in the Bible regarding the love of God. It's Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is just a great chapter to begin with. There are all kinds of quotable verses in Romans chapter 8. Let's see, where do I want to go here? Romans 8, 35. Now, listen to this. Romans 8, 35. Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It does, whatever you're going through, my friend, whatever you are going through, if you are a believer, you are a conqueror. In all of these things, If you face death all day long, you're considered a sheep to be slaughtered. Even if that is happening to you, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the past nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you get that? Did you get that? Paul is rejoicing here in a constant consciousness of this eternal love of God. And I want you to know that we urgently need this message of God's undying eternal love today. When there is so much hatred and division in the world, and where there are so many things that would discourage us from living by the principle of love. Has this country ever been more divided than it is at this very moment? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Yeah, that's absolutely right. It needs God's love, not just any love. We need God's love, and people need to understand God's love. If we were constantly aware of the fact of God's great love for us, I mean, surely it would strengthen our faith in him and cause us to rely upon his promises and would challenge us to do what he wants us to do. Now let's talk about something John wrote in 1 John 4, verse 10. Talk about the presence of love here. 1 John 4, verse 10. John writes, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. That's verse 9, verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That phrase, atoning sacrifice, means God was the one who would turn aside his wrath or remove his wrath from us because of our sins. God's promised love has been revealed most dramatically in the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross for us. There are no limits placed on God's love. Ephesians chapter 3, let's have a look at that. No, let's go back to verse 16, Ephesians 3:16. I love this clump of verses. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I, listen to this, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's profound. Paul is praying that somehow God will help you understand this love that surpasses knowledge. It's hard to understand God's love. It's hard to understand agape love, isn't it? A love that never ends. A love that is not based on your performance or how you live your life. God's love for you is perfect. And Paul says he wants God to help you to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. Because our finite brains cannot grasp this kind of love, because there's nothing on earth like it. There's nothing on earth like it. God's the love of God is as broad as the wide world. It's as wide without being shallow. It reaches out. It's always reaching out to include all people of all colors, of all countries, and of all cultures. The love of God reaches to the furthest point in its quest to redeem and to forgive. It reaches back into the past and extends forward into the future. God has always loved us and will always continue to love us. The love of God reaches down to find and bless man in his deepest need. Sin cannot cover a man to the extent that the love of God is unable to reach down, touch him, and lift him up. The love of God has brought the Son of God down from on high to meet your deepest need. We are all sinners without the power to save ourselves or to lift ourselves to a position where we could please God. And what we were unable to do, God's love has done for us. Somebody say amen out there. I mean, this is good stuff. 1 Corinthians 5:14. Take a look at that. No, 2 Corinthians, sorry. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. The promise of God's unending love for us is no sedative to lull our souls to sleep in spiritual indifference. Instead, it should be a constant motivating force to a life of trust and obedience. For Christ's love compels us, Paul wrote. And the assurance of God's love is eternal. Unchanging love can sustain us in times of great difficulty or tragedy, because God's love is not dependent on how you feel or your circumstances. Even if you're going through horrible circumstances right now, that does not affect God's love for you. As a matter of fact, even if you have stumbled in your walk of faith, now stumbling is not the same thing as falling, because when you fall away from the faith. But if you've stumbled and you're struggling with some sin, maybe you're struggling with doubt or some faithlessness or something, God still loves you. And God's love can sustain you to get you back on track. God, in love, will be at work in everything that happens to us to bring out every possible good for us. The constant awareness of God's love can make us rejoice even in the midst of difficulties or chastisements that come upon us from God. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that God disciplines those he loves. And sometimes God allows bad things or seemingly bad things to come into our lives so that it will teach us something, or to discipline us, or to cause us to seek him. I mean, how many of us would spend time in prayer if everything in our lives was working perfectly? Do you realize that for some of you, the only time you pray is when you need something from God? That's not good. That's not good at all, is it? Even those events, the difficult times that he allows to come into your life, even those are motivated by his love for us. And my friend, if you're experiencing a difficult time, you need to just trust the Lord. You need to trust the Lord that he will be your strength and get you through it. The parable of the waiting father, often called the parable of the prodigal son. Everybody thinks that parable is about the son, but it's really about the father. The father is the main character in that parable. But it speaks concerning the promise of love. God loves you. God is looking at you right now. God is waiting for you. Now, as I'm recording this and as it's being uploaded to various places on the internet, it's April the 19th, 2023. Now, I don't know when you're listening to this. Maybe it's today. Maybe it's a year from now. Maybe it's 2 years from now. I don't know when you're listening to this. And I hope that you know the Lord. And I hope that this little teaching today has encouraged you. But maybe you don't know the Lord. Well, you can. He's waiting for you. And he will rejoice to welcome you and to receive you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as both your Lord and your Savior, today is the day to come home, to receive all that God has for you. Right now, today is the time to come to your waiting Father, whose love for you is eternal. Everyone that comes to the Lord for salvation will not be turned away. He loves you with an everlasting, undying love. So if you don't know the Lord today, please consider following him. Okay, that's it for today. It's about 26 and a half minutes past the hour. Now, folks, today is Wednesday, which means we've got our midweek Bible study at church. If you are anywhere near the hustling, bustling metropolis of Norton, Virginia, nestled in the Appalachian Mountains, why don't you come out and join us? We've just begun our series in the book of James. We did a survey of James, and now we're going to go back and we're going to pick apart the book of James. We're going to go verse by verse, passage by passage, and try to understand what James is trying to teach us about living righteous, about living right in a world that's always wrong. That's tonight at 6 o'clock. Now, those teachings will eventually find their way up on the Panic podcast, but it's always more fun to be there in person because we have a lot of discussion and some back and forth, and it's a good time. So hopefully we'll see you out tonight at 6 o'clock. In the meantime, it's Wednesday. It's going to be a beautiful day where I am. Get some sunshine. Go on and get outside. Vitamin D is essential to a healthy body and a healthy mind. And we'll be back on Friday. Now, on Friday, I want to go back and examine the Lord's Prayer. I want to talk about that phrase, "Our Father, which art in heaven." What does that really mean? That's what we're going to talk about on Friday's program. So come on back then. In the meantime, God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll see you again soon.